Blog Talk Radio.
Well, as you can hear from that, the garage is open here on this June 11th morning all. Welcome into another Frat House Sports' Race Trim Motorsports Hour. Frat House, Mike coming to you here. As I said, it's June 11th, beautiful day here in Pennsylvania. It's going to be a hot one. That it will be. And we'll see if that translates up to Pocono Raceway today. Yeah, we're going to be spending about the next 60 to 90 minutes or so chatting racing, chatting from last week at Dover and this week at Pocono and, well, last week at Dover. I don't know. Yeah, look, just when I thought it was going to be Larson, it's going to be Truex. Nope. Jimmy Johnson gets his 11th at Dover. 11th. Third of the season, which puts him atop all the winners. 83rd of his career and a tie with Cal Yarborough. Now, I'm going to say this. Hate him if you must, but that is one remarkable accomplishment when you look at it in its totality. And you cannot take anything away from that at all. Like I said, hate Jimmy Johnson if you will, but you can't take anything away from that type of an accomplishment. It's just absolutely remarkable when you think about it in terms of the sheer number. So what else happened last week? Well, hey, you know, listen, the Toyotas, we talked about it all season long. They're running a bit better. Yes, they are. I mean, you can see it every week. They're running a little bit better. But still no wins for JGR yet. No mic drops for Kyle Busch this week, but they did have one infamous tire drop. Yeah, there were parts of Kyle's car that was seen rolling around the track without the rest of the car. It was quite remarkable. Amazingly, damage done to the vehicle, but no problem. They were able to get it back out there and be very competitive. But amazingly as well, no post-race comments, nonsense, that sort of thing from our good friend Kyle Busch this past week. Last week was the midpoint of the season. And so almost right on track, it was interesting because I think I saw no less than about three or four, and it seems like the timing is right there. It's perfect. Here we go. We're at midpoint in the season. And boom, here come the feel-good junior stories. Yeah, they're beginning to emerge as we're now into the second half of the season. And, of course, this being Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s final season. So the feel-good stories are starting to line up. We'll talk on a couple of those. And as I pointed out today, we are at the tricky triangle of Pocono, race number 14. We've got our own Christian Colley from onpitroad.com at the track, and we will be checking in with him momentarily. We'll be taking a look at the standings. We'll be taking a look at fantasy and, of course, our winner selection for this week and where everything stands with all of that. All right, that's our lineup for this morning. If you want to jump in with us, please don't hesitate. 347-826-9964. That's how you can ring us up here at the Frat House Sports Garage. 347-826-9964. 6-4. Otherwise, hey, don't hesitate. Leave us a message in our Blog Talk Radio chat room, or you can hit me up on Twitter, Frat House Mike. That's how you can get me on Twitter. All right, let's get the mechanics in here. I got Side Draft. I got Brandon. Good morning, guys.
Yo.
Everything's great.
Everything's great. Very good.
Kyle's on the pole 2 weeks in a row, along with Truex next to him. The Toyota's our back. I guess he can say that for sure.
It would seem to me.
We don't need to talk about Toyotas.
Uh-oh.
You know, it's Mike alluded to. You know, it's the we're going in the second half of the season. All the good, feel-good junior stories are coming out. And in honor of that, today is our Dale Earnhardt Jr. show number 88 of the Frat House Motor Show.
You know what? I didn't even take notice of that. That's very good on your part. That's very good. You must have you had some extra motor fuel this morning?
No, I just had my normal one.
Okay.
But, I am running a little late morning and, I got hung up at getting the fuel stop. They couldn't get the nozzle out of the thing. So I spent about 20 minutes sitting there waiting for my stuff. If I had something to throw on the floor, I would have.
Good observation on your part. Number 88. I didn't even give that a thought. That's my bad.
I didn't notice it and kind of laughed it off. But then when I heard your intro, I'm like, oh, come on.
That's a perfect segue.
This is the junior show.
Exactly. There you go. Well, I didn't come prepared necessarily, but listen, we do have Christian Coley with us. We're going to have him with us for a not real long, couple minutes up at Pocono, which is where I would imagine all three of us would like to be right about. Well, I don't know. Do we want to be there today? It's going to be hot. Christian, how are we doing this morning?
It's nice outside today. We're doing good. We're on our way to the track. We woke up at 10 o'clock, got into Pennsylvania around 4 o'clock this morning, so we're ready to rumble.
Have you been to Pocono before?
It's the first time I've ever been to this part of the States.
Aha, okay. I, for one, we've talked about it before. I, for one, like the track. Brandon has said he likes the track to watch on television, but doesn't much like it in person. I've been there. I like it in person. But
most of my friends this week has really, really gotten down on me because, in fact, earlier in the month, I said that I really had no interest in my life to ever see Pocono Speedway Raceway. And then on a Thursday, one of my friends texted me and said, do you want to go to Pocono with me? And I was like, well, I'll go. So he let me have that, saying it's kind of funny how I've been saying all along that I really had no interest in my life to come see Pocono. And, well, I'm here this weekend. So
now, just out of curiosity, what's your reasoning for not wanting to go there? I would think somebody like yourself would want to get to every single track at some point or another.
I've never really liked Pocono. It's too big for me, really.
Well, a lot of people say, the complaint I've heard is it's very flat. You know, it's a flat track, so it doesn't quite have.
I like coming here for the fact that it's going to be another race I've never been to, but it's just one of those that I've never really had an interest to go to. I've never really liked the racing. The video games are always really hard. I was never able to win a Pocono on video games, and so, it's just an additive of different things.
Gotcha.
It's funny you bring up the video games, Christian, because I remember hearing Denny Hamlin. I'm trying to remember if it was Carl Edwards. But a number of the drivers who were first-time winners at Pocono, they said, how do you prepare for Pocono? And they all said that they played the video games and just like, you know, race after race, just sat there and, you know, kept playing the video games, and stuff. And that's how they prepared for Pocono. And I thought that was always kind of funny. But, yeah, you know, the other thing about it is, you know, a friend of ours in our fantasy league, a guy I went to high school with, Rob, and that, he took me to my first NASCAR race. And we went to Dover. We camped at Dover. And I said, I want to go to Pocono. Dover didn't really interest me. And he goes, Pocono sucks. Dover by far is a better track. And that, and I asked him, now this is going back a number of years, back when they used to have billboards or whatever that covered up, I think, the one corner and that. So you couldn't really see all the tracks. But so I've been to Dover a couple times and then finally went to Pocono. Actually, Mike, you and I went.
Yep.
And that. And I thought I liked Pocono better than I liked Dover.
Yep, so do I.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of hard to see, you know, because it is such a large track. But it reminds me of Daytona. Daytona is kind of hard to really, you know, see the whole track because of how, you know, how big it is. If you don't really have binoculars and stuff, it's just the problem I have with Dover is, you know, it's a mile, you know, 3/4 mile track or whatever, 3/4 mile, but it's 400 laps, you know, it's 400 miles. So you're sitting there,
yeah, Dover,
it's 400
Dover's
something
a mile.
Laps, man. Yeah, it's like, oh my God.
Dover's a mile.
It's the monster mile.
Yeah.
The big problem I love watching Pocono on TV because I think it's a different track and they got to use different strategies, maybe even similar to a road course in the sense that they can, you know, they can pit under green without losing a lap and stuff. The problem with it live is it's 2.5 miles flat. Daytona's 2.5 miles bank. So you can kind of see the cars are physically closer to you because of the bank and you can see
right,
the
yeah,
roofs.
Right.
Pocono, you can't see the roofs when they're that far away from you. So it's really, really hard to track your favorite driver. And if there's good action going on, let's just say you're in the main grandstand and there's something going on over that tunnel turn, that's so far away, you really, unless you are watching them the entire way around and didn't lose your track of who was who, it's hard to tell who's who by the time they get over there. And if there's anything good happening, you really can't see it because they're flat and all you see are the doors. And the door is just at that distance, you can't read the numbers. Maybe you could read the roof, you know, the roof numbers at Daytona and Talladega because they're banked and you can see the roofs, but you can't see the roofs at Pocono. So that's my big thing is why I don't like it. And the other thing, because of the climate in that area, on a day like today, it's going to be hot and it's going to be sticky because it's in the mountain area where they get a lot of storms. And when it's hot, it's always humid. We've seen issues where the track's been covered in fog because it, you know, wasn't as hot, you know, but I mean, it's always humid up there and it's not going to be a fun day for the fans. I'll say that.
Well,
unless you really like hot and humid weather, then you're going to be in heaven.
The race that Kick and I was at, I guess it was 3-4, I don't know, 4 years ago, maybe, up there at Pocono. That was the one where two people were struck by lightning and killed.
Yeah. So, that one was scary.
Yes, it was. I have never been so petrified of a storm rolling in as I was at that one. That was just, wow. Anyhow, like I said, I know we only have Christian for a couple of minutes. Christian, I wanted to get your thoughts on Jimmy Johnson winning last week at Dover. 11th at Dover. He's now his third of the season, 83rd of his career, and tying Dale Yarborough. To me, I started out by saying, you know, whether you like him or not, that's just one tremendous accomplishment.
I was very, I wasn't really surprised by Johnson winning on Sunday. I mean, it's Dover. I mean, Dover and Jimmy Johnson go together like peanut butter and jelly. I mean,
yep.
Him tying Cale Yarborough was a very impressive feat. I thought it was kind of funny how he had just gotten the Cale Yarborough helmet last week. I thought
yep.
that was pretty neat. I was very surprised by the ending of last weekend's race. I was not very happy with it. I think a lot of fans are kind of getting annoyed at this ending races under caution. Because
Good
we
point.
Saw that in the truck race on Friday night.
Now, yeah, let me ask a question about that, because I was at the race, and obviously I couldn't see where the line was that they had to get to, because I was completely surprised being at the track that they called
the
race.
Yeah, what's your question, Psychic? I didn't.
Where was the you know, the I forget what the official name of the line
the overtime
is,
line.
The line. What's that?
Yeah, the overtime
line. The overtime line?
Yeah.
Yep.
Where was that
it?
In
Texas
the relation to where that wreck was?
Texas or Dover?
At Dover.
It was in the middle of the backstretch.
Okay.
Yeah, it was in the middle of the backstretch.
Yeah, when they showed it on television, Sidekick, and I think you'll hear it in the clip that I've got, Johnson had just gotten to it. I mean, it seemed like he had just crossed it, and then the wreck developed. So, I mean, that's how close it was. It was pretty close. It really was. I mean, they almost had to do it. They almost had to do a do-over. But I hear you, Christian. I hate those conditions as well. And as I sat there watching it, I said, oh, I guess this is the way this is going to end. We're going to end this thing under caution. That's ridiculous. Christian, the Toyotas seem to be running better recently.
Yeah.
And as we pointed out, holy smokes, look at the starting lineup again. We got Kyle Busch and Martin Truex, 1 and 2. This is looking familiar. It's a broken record at this point. It seems to me, Kyle's going to get a win. Kyle's going to
Thank
get
you.
A win. Yep. What are your thoughts on the Toyotas, particularly today?
I don't really know how to feel about the Toyotas today. Me and my friend that are coming to the race, we really do believe that Martin Truex Jr. will dominate today. It's one of his favorite tracks, one of his better tracks. He's won here before. And like I said, Kyle Busch will find a way to mess it up again this weekend. I mean, tires fall off his car last week. You know, he'll find a way, and then he'll find a way to blame it on somebody else after the race. He always does.
I've been – Everything's great.
Kenseth again this weekend. He's won here before. Daniel Suarez, it definitely wouldn't look past. Denny Hamlin, he's been pretty good here, I think.
Denny Hamlin's
yeah,
won
Denny
four
Hamlin.
Times.
Yeah, Hamlin's always good at this track.
Yep.
Hamlin, in fact, is
the leading active driver, Denny Hamlin, with four wins.
But the biggest thing you've got to look at with a lot of the drivers today, there is a lot of good chances of wins today. There's a lot of good drivers in the field today. I mean, you've got Joey and Brad Keselowski, both have had very good runs at Pocono in the past. You've got the Richard Childress Racing cars. They'll manage to show up somehow. You've got a lot of different – you've got a lot of players that can step up to the plate and hit home runs today.
Well, I'll tell you what, before we lose you today, because I know, you know, I don't want to hold you up. Before we lose you today, who are you picking to actually win this?
Joey Logano.
Ah, okay. Logano's won here before, too. He's got one win here. One of the other interesting things that I found, how about Ryan Blaney up front again today as well? Ryan Blaney up there at number four.
How about Michael McDowell, 11?
Yeah. Yep. Eric Jones, who ran very, very well again last week, at 15. You know, you make a good point. We could see another new first-time winner today. It's very possible. And I'm going to be curious to see, because you had said it, I believe, last week, Christian, that you believe that we will have more than 16 winners this coming season.
I believe we will.
At some point or another, I mean, in the second half of the season, we're going to have to start getting a few more in there. Pocono would be a good place for it to happen. All right. Well, I got you down. I got you down for. I got you down there for Logano. So whenever you need to go, Christian, just feel free to just move on. You don't even have to worry about.
I got one thing to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not surprised about anything. Congratulations. I'm out of here.
there you go. All right, Christian. Thank you very much.
Well, no problem.
Hopefully, we'll have you next week.
Hopefully, yeah.
All right. Take care. All right.
So what was that all about?
What was what all about?
The congratulations thing.
He was doing his Kyle Busch.
Oh, okay.
That's what that was. Remember,
gotcha.
He said, I'm not surprised by anything. I'm not surprised. That was his
point. I didn't realize that became a new T-shirt.
That was, yeah, well, it seems everything Kyle says this year is becoming a T-shirt.
I was just going to say, it seems like if he says anything, everybody's going to take it now.
Yeah, exactly.
We need a new sound drop.
Well, that one, unfortunately, wasn't quite as good, but before I kind of accelerated things there a little bit with Christian since we only had him for a couple minutes. But, guys, let's go back to Dover for a second. You know, look, I know that there's not – perhaps maybe with the exception of Sidekick, perhaps, who I don't know if you necessarily have any feelings about – Jimmy Johnson or not. I mean, but for the most part, there's not a heck of a lot of love for Jimmy Johnson. And yet, I'm going to be honest with you. As much as I hated seeing him get his third win of the season, and as Christian pointed out, I really hate those conditions when you're winning under caution. I think that's stupid. But I'm going to be honest with you. I was really impressed when you think about 83 wins in a career. That is really, really impressive. To me, I think you got to give the devil his due for that alone. That's really, really an impressive stat. Any thoughts?
Well, you want psychic? Well,
no, go ahead, Brady.
I'll tell you, this is where I come down on him now. Real simple. He's proven that he's a solid driver. He's a good racer. You know, he's won a lot of races. He's now tied Cale Yarborough, Johnson personally. Not as a driver. I don't like him. I don't like his attitude. I don't like the way he speaks. You can tell he's smug and thinks he's better than everybody. That's the part about him I don't like. It's not necessarily his racing skills or ability. It's not that he's a dirty driver or he's not a good good racer. You know, he will whine every once in a while when his car is not right. You know, but you know, I guess everybody can do that, I suppose, if you go up and down the garage. But you know, I think what it comes down to is Jimmy Johnson just comes off in a way I just don't like, and I think that's why I don't. He's the kind of guy I wouldn't want to hang out with him if I saw him. You know, I don't even know if I'd want to shake his hand. I certainly don't even want his autograph. You know what
wow.
I mean? It's just, I don't know what there is about him. I just don't like him. He
wow.
puts me off for some reason.
I'm actually a little bit surprised at how, the kind of vitriol you're spitting there.
Well, I thought about this for a while as you're going over his accomplishments. And, you know, you really can't take anything away from this guy anymore.
Right.
He's got
exactly.
7 championships. He just tied Cale Yarborough for, you know, third overall on the list, or is not third. It might be fourth or something, whatever. I know Darrell Waltrip's next. Darrell Waltrip's the next one on the list for him to tie and pass. You can't sit there and say he's not a good driver at this point. You know, so if you don't like him, you got to – I just had to think about, like, what is it I don't like? When they interview, he just has that – I don't know. He has an attitude about him that
you know when and you know you're talking about well he could do some whining and what have you. Generally, when you hear him doing that on the radio, you could bet Chad Knaus usually comes back and tells him to shut the hell up, which I think
yeah.
is hysterical.
Oh yeah. Now Chad Knaus on the
hysterical.
Other hand, Chad Knaus, I would go have a drink with. I think he's cool. I really don't get the way these two get together. You know, because you could tell. You know, they're not like good buddies going hunting and fishing like good old boys of NASCAR. You know what I mean? You could tell they're not that kind. They work well together, I guess, as a crew chief and driver. You know, and I don't see their relationship going much past that.
Well, you know how you sum up their relationship? They're professionals.
There you go. Okay, that's better than what I was expecting.
On a serious, you were expecting me to.
Legitimately,
they have one of the best professional relationships in any sport. I mean, it's on the level. I mean, and we make the comparison all the time, but it's like Belichick and Brady. You know what I mean? I mean, that relationship clicks.
Yeah,
and I don't know, you know.
But I get the impression, I think as Brandon's insinuating, I get the impression that Belichick and Brady actually are a bit more cordial than Knauss and Johnson are.
I'm not saying they're not cordial. I'm just saying I don't think they're, you know, they're not best buddies hanging out, you know, like a lot of the, you know, crew guys are. I think Sidekick summed it up best. They're probably just, they have a very professional relationship. They know they're good for each other and they can tolerate each other based on the fact that they know they're professionally going to be a good team. Cause I don't get the impression that they go, you know, that they're hanging out on Lake Norman down there in Charlotte, you know, on a boat on the weekends, you know, with their families. I just don't get that. I see very few people in NASCAR playing, you know, chummy with Jimmy Johnson.
You're right. I think a good example of a probably cozy driver crew chief relationship is Truex to what's his name?
Pern. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cole Pern.
Yes. Yep.
I agree. There's probably a lot of them that are better than what you see, you know.
Yeah. Or Junior. Junior's always had that one of the boys.
Well, he had what's his name for years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Who went
to the booth.
Junior's a whole different deal than Jimmy Johnson. I think Junior's much more likable and down to earth than Jimmy Johnson is.
Well, he.
I mean, even if you're not a junior fan, I mean, he's hard to hate. You know what I mean? Because he doesn't win a lot. You know, he's not the typical, you know, NASCAR driver you don't like because he's winning all the time. That certainly ain't the problem.
Yeah.
Well,
he's not a hothead.
No, he's actually too low keyed. His dad had a little bit more of a temper.
He's not terribly smug.
No,
and
it's
not
funny because where I see the breakdown is look at the California based drivers and look at the good old boy drivers.
Yep.
It's the silver spooned California drivers that are smug.
Yeah, you could throw the Bush brothers in there too. They're from Las
Vegas.
I was going to say they're
Vegas.
Know, the West Coasters versus the Southern boys.
Well,
you know what I mean?
You put Jeff Gordon in there.
Wasn't Jeff Gordon
in California?
Yeah.
He's kind of come around though. I don't know if he's done it for TV because he knows he has to be more personable now because he's on TV. But even towards the end of his career. He didn't put me off as much as he did in the beginning. He did the same kind of thing as Jimmy Johnson, but as time evolved, he seemed like he became more down to earth. You know, and maybe he knew that, you know, that maybe he knew 5 years from the end, he knew he wanted to get into broadcast and he had to change. Because you can't be in broadcasting and put people off. That ain't going to happen. You ain't lasting long in broadcast. You know what I mean? It's just people are going to tune you out. So, I don't know. I don't know what I can't. I think Sidekick's onto the geographic though.
Yeah,
I don't think Jeff Gordon's as annoying as he once was. Let's put it that way.
You know, even Kevin Harvick. You know, Harvick's a California boy, and he's still a little smug. He's not at a Jimmy Johnson level by any means, but he's still got that Southern California kind of, you know.
I would definitely have a beer with Kevin Harvick, no doubt about it.
Well,
Harvick's going to give you a good story.
Just so I could smack his wife.
No, no. Just the stories that guy would tell you if you're just chilling. Because you know he ain't holding nothing back.
That is funny. That's funny. Because I wouldn't think of – I wouldn't really think of having any interest to have a sit-down with Kevin Harvick. No. No.
I bet Clint Boyer would be a blast to sit down.
Gordon,
with.
I would. Oh, I would love to sit down
that
with Gordon.
He don't. Clint Boyer doesn't hold nothing back.
Yeah, as much as I despise him for that whole thing that went down, you know, at Richmond years ago, and that's the Scorpio in me. I'm never going to let that crap go. But. Yes, absolutely. I absolutely sit down with Clint Boyer and you know, have a, you know, grill and have a few beers,
yep.
some shots
yep.
with him. Because, yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he's got to be one of the funniest guys.
Really?
When he lets loose. You know what I mean? You got to
catch. Well, let me tell you something.
There's days he's like Jimmy Johnson where he's got a
pull. I was
going to
say, what was yesterday like? I didn't see it.
Yesterday, during the broadcast, it was a riot. I'll even say Joey Logano came off pretty good.
Oh,
no. Three of them did a really good job in the booth. They really did. The stiffest one of the bunch was Denny Hamlin, who got the job of playing the Larry McReynolds role in Hollywood Hotel with Danica. He just looked like every time they went to him, like he had nothing. He had no clue what he was doing. But the rest of the broadcast
was with
awesome.
Danica.
Well, maybe. That might have been part of it. I don't know. Danica did okay, but she was a little, I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Yeah.
You know, she wasn't, like, awful, but, oh, okay. I don't know if I see a post driving career for her in broadcasting. Let's put it that way. I don't think
phony.
That's happening.
She comes off very
she does.
Phony.
She does have a little bit.
Yeah. That's the problem with her. But, they were painting it though, Brandon, that Harvick was kind of the lead dog.
He was the play-by-play. He was the lead in the booth.
In fact, they had him looking like what's his name from the movie where they making fun of. I'm trying to remember the name of the movie. Anchorman.
Oh.
What was the name of the guy? What was the character?
Oh, Ron Burgundy.
Yes. They had him wearing the red jacket like Burgundy did, and they had him standing like that. So I thought it was a neat idea because it was obviously and evidently designed to be good natured and kind of poke fun at it all. But I was just curious whether in fact you got, you know, a real glimpse of spontaneity and humor from Harvick, as you're mentioning.
I'll be honest with you. I watched the whole race, and as it went on, you know, obviously they were going to make a mistake here and there. You know, Harvick was really good the way he dealt with it. He covered it real well, and you know, made fun of himself a little bit. You know, when he screwed up, you know that he didn't come off to me at all as, you know, unlikable during that broadcast. Even Joey Logano, I mean, Joey never really did nothing that sounded, you know, awful to me. I mean, I thought of the bunch, I thought Logano was just, you know, I look at Logano and I see like the class clown who's just annoying everybody, and he really wasn't like that. He added value, you know, he added opinions to the race. It was different. It was a nice thing. I mean, even the guys on pit road, I mean, Eric Jones is a little stiff as a pit road reporter. I thought Stenhouse Jr. was awesome. I thought he did a great job. Ryan Blaney did a good job. Ryan Blaney actually did the Victory Lane interview with Keselowski too, which is kind of cool. So, you know, they did a good job as a whole. And you know, most of them came off really well, I thought.
Huh. Well,
I'm not saying they're all destined to be broadcasters.
No. I realize. I was just curious. So basically what you're, you know, because, I mean, I don't know. I just can't picture Harvick being this jocular sort. I don't know.
He can at times. He comes across like that. And the thing that gets me with Joey Logano reminds me of that awkward teenager where he's, you know, he hasn't quite perfected the joke yet, or when it's appropriate to joke.
I thought you were going to say the art of socialization.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what he's saying. That is kind of what he's saying.
It's, you know, just that kind of awkward stage where, you know, you're trying to make that adult joke, but it doesn't quite hit because you really don't fully understand it, kind of thing. You know what I mean? So it comes off like, what? Okay. Oh, we're supposed to laugh. Okay. You know, hey, Joey, go back in your room. Go play with your Xbox or something.
Yeah, really.
You know what I mean? The adults are talking here. That's what Joey kind of reminds me of. It's just that awkward. He's growing. Hasn't quite got everything, you know, the socialization down of, you know, how to make that joke and how to be serious, you know, when to be serious and, you know.
He really should by now, though. Isn't he in his 20s?
I would think.
He's, dude, I
really?
I don't know if he's old enough to drink yet.
Oh,
yes,
come on. He's.
Yes, he is.
No,
he's in his 20s. He's got to be in his 20s.
I think he's pushing 30.
Yeah,
no.
He's got to be because he couldn't come up to NASCAR till he was 18.
Oh, yeah,
he's
20, he's 27.
He's 27.
Yeah.
He's got children.
For that age,
not?
He should be.
He came in the league so damn young. That's why.
He did. But you would think by now, though, he'd have learned.
All the more reason.
Some part of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All the more reason that you're gonna have developed some what's the word I want? I guess sense of self. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, the nervous laugh drives me nuts because he could be being asked something very serious. You know, I mean, like the other week, you know, it was he and Danica and Almirola involved in that wreck. And they're asking him as he's coming out of the wellness center, they're asking him, you know, about the wreck. And he goes, geez, I really hope that Eric's okay. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
But you really laugh right there,
time,
you moron.
Right. Well, and that's what I mean. It's kind of that awkward, you know.
Yes.
Like, you know, but at the same time, though, you know that it, for the most part, it's unfiltered. And it's true. You know what I mean? Because you could, in that interview, you could hear how bad he actually, you know.
I hear you.
His words were a little bit awkward, and he kind of had that nervous laugh, which I think was just a, you know, just kind of that, you know, I don't know what to do here, so I'm just going to kind of do that laugh. Yeah, you know. Kind of thing, because he didn't, you know, I think that he just didn't know how to really emote.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you could hear that he genuinely felt bad.
Agreed.
And was concerned for Eric. And then when you heard him, when they played the replay, and he didn't say anything, but
right.
You heard his kind of grunts and could tell how he really felt. It wasn't like it wasn't like Danica where, you know, I'm so tired of these damn races and I'm, you know, like, really?
Why me? Why does it always happen to me?
Bitch. Yeah. You know, almost like that time, Nancy Kerrigan. You know, with the Tonya Harding when she got smacked. Oh, why me? Why me? You know, like, shut up. This dude's freaking getting jaws of life out of a car. And all you got to
with
say
Kerrigan,
is,
though.
Why
with
can't
Kerrigan.
I? What?
With Kerrigan, yeah, it was almost deserving of her. I mean, in other words, there was more you could almost have more empathy. You could have more empathy for Kerrigan in that spot than you would for Danica in this one. I mean, you know, seriously.
But it was like, you know, like really, you know, you self-centered yoga fruit bar bitch.
Wow.
It was a really bad look. There is no doubt about that. And a couple of interesting. Listen, I don't know if anybody saw it. I sent it over in the thread. She had a bad look yesterday during, I believe it was practice. I don't know if anybody saw that. She was coming out with her car. She was walking alongside the car as they were taking it out for practice from the garage. And fans were there and yelled to her that they wanted autographs. And she waved them off. To which they booed her. She turned, flip around, comes back and started yelling at them. It was all caught on videotape where she turned and said to the entire crowd, "That really hurts my feelings. I'm an effing person."
Wow.
She needs to retire.
Meltdown. She's in meltdown mode. She is definitely in meltdown mood. Because, I mean, you know, look, I'm not saying it was right to boo the girl. All right. She's there to do a job, and she's going to do it at that particular moment. That was probably not the most appropriate time to be looking for an autograph. So, I don't blame her for being perturbed at them booing her, and the fans shouldn't have been doing it. But you know what? Leave it alone. Just keep walking and ignore it. Don't make a scene out of it. You've already made too much of a scene already this season. Just leave it alone. Ah, man. It was a bad look. Again, another bad look. But just out of curiosity, Psychic, I just wanted to get your... Before we move off of the Jimmy Johnson thing, it seems to me... You've never necessarily hated Jimmy Johnson.
I hated Jimmy Johnson prior to Fantasy. And my fiance, God bless her, will never, ever let me forget that fact. Which is why she hates that I play Fantasy, because here is a driver that I absolutely hated. Prior to playing Fantasy, but yet I put him on my Fantasy roster. And it goes back, and we've had this discussion, if you want to be good at Fantasy, you have to put aside your prejudices either way. Whether it's a, you're a fan of a certain driver or you're not a fan of a certain driver, like Tony Stewart. As much as I like Tony Stewart, I didn't put him on my Fantasy roster a whole heck of a lot because he wasn't, wasn't going to help me win. Jimmy Johnson will help me win. So, and because of that, I've softened on Jimmy Johnson where I don't quite have the hate. I'm more neutral now than I would have, pre us doing Fantasy. There'd been nothing but, nasty vitriol coming out of my mouth about Jimmy Johnson. whereas now I've but at the same time, as you were saying earlier, you can't, or as Brandon was saying, you can't knock his accomplishments.
Nope.
And honestly, last week, the reason I picked him as my eat my dust wasn't so much because of, he's, 10 wins at Dover. I saw him in practice with that Cale Yarborough helmet. And I said, this is the week he's going to do it. You know what I mean? It was almost like, who was the baseball guy that would always point out, you know,
Babe Ruth.
Call his home runs.
Yep.
You know, it felt like a Babe Ruth moment for me with Jimmy Johnson. That him wearing that helmet last weekend was him saying, I'm winning this race and I'm tying Cale Yarborough. You know what I mean? And that's the whole reason I picked him is my eat my dust.
So I guess it would be accurate to say there's not somebody that you would never put on your fantasy roster.
Pretty much. Clint Boyer would probably be the closest to it.
I got to say, I'm trying to remember
Danica. Danica. I've put her on my roster one time. But
I've had her on my roster. Yeah, I've had her on my roster.
She's probably...
I've had her on this year. As a matter of fact, I had her on last week.
Yeah, I don't know. But also...
I took her off for this week.
Was it last week or the week before? I think it was the week. Might have been the week before she had a top 10, right? Or was it last week? It might have been last week.
No, I think it was last week. Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, it was last week.
Yeah, Danica was number 10. Yeah, she was. That was her first top 10 of the season. It was last week. So you probably did okay, Brandon.
Well, I had other drivers not too hot.
with her. I mean, because I'm sitting here and I'm going, I can't say that I've never put Keselowski on, but it's rare the Peskies ever get on my roster. Very, very rare. I don't think I've ever had Logano on. And I know for a fact that that is bias. That is just bias on my part.
Absolutely
bias. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, whether I want to think I'm like you sometimes, Sidekick. I want to think I'm like you. That it doesn't matter. I mean, I've had Jimmy Johnson on my roster many times. But I'm not because that pesky crew just irks me. And I would sooner put Keselowski on over Logano. I don't think I've ever had Logano on.
I will put Toyota drivers on my roster and stuff like that because, mm-hmm. To me, it's all about winning.
Right.
That's the whole, that's why you play fantasy is, so if I unfortunately have to put somebody I don't like on, I'll do it just so I can get that win.
Exactly.
But I will have to say though, Ryan Blaney this year, I'm in serious fanboy mode over Ryan Blaney.
Yep. I couldn't agree more.
To where Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski are playing like second and third fiddle to Ryan Blaney. Ryan Blaney is like on all my rosters and have been pretty much this whole season. You know what I mean? And part of it's probably because of the Wood brothers. Like When they went through this whole charter thing and Wood Brothers didn't get a charter and stuff like that, it almost shifted where my fandom went and I went almost that nostalgia where I will root for the Penskes, but when it comes to the Wood Brothers and Ryan Blaney, I got my Ryan Blaney Wood Brothers shirt. I've got my Ford hat and the whole, this season is definitely a Wood Brothers.
There's no doubt about it. And there's an influence there because it's a good story,
absolutely.
It's a good storyline and it's an Americana storyline. It's one that you're going to root for the underdog sort of thing. So you're absolutely right. And Blaney just has been, he's been remarkable, really remarkable. I've just enjoyed watching him.
And then you get a glimpse, early in the season when him and Junior were kind of, getting into each other at the tracks. And then on Twitter, Junior's wife, talking, and their banner kind of, on Twitter only, made him seem like more of a, you know, more real kind of thing. You know what I mean? Versus like a Jimmy Johnson, which is, you know, very monotone and robotic and probably has scheduled Twitter posts, you know, see Jimmy Johnson this weekend at Pocono.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, whereas, you know, Ryan Blaney's like, okay, can I bring over a case of beers and some flowers? Can I
exactly.
come back?
Yeah, exactly.
Am I allowed back at the house?
Oh,
you know.
All right. So last week at Dover, this your top 10, since we mentioned the Danica was in the top 10, who else was there? Jimmie Johnson, obviously number one, Kyle Larson, two, Martin Truex, three, Ryan Newman, four, Chase Elliott, five, Daniel Suarez, another good race for him, six. Really coming around, Daniel Suarez. Jamie McMurray, seventh, Denny Hamlin, eight, Kevin Harvick, nine, Danica Patrick came in 10th. This is the audio from, I guess, the final couple laps. And as you'll hear, ending under caution.
Larson did not get the start that he wanted. He's going to have to work hard to get the outside of Jimmie Johnson here.
Oh, McMurray three wide.
Wow, he's sideways.
Oh,
the wreck is
no. The crash. Best guy crashed.
That'll be it.
Big wreck going into three. I mean, look at him. A wrecking everywhere.
I think they made it to the overtime line.
Now NASCAR will have to look at video to determine whether the leader was at the overtime line or not before the caution. So many good cars that were having great days here, all wadded up in the third turn. Allmendinger destroyed. Dillon against the turn three wall. What a shame. Jones comes down pit road completely wrecked. And there is the overtime line.
What do you think? I think he's passed it. Definitely. Wow.
So under caution, the race leaders will come around to the checkered flag. Cole Witt climbing out. We'll get a total of the cars involved for you. Ty Dillon was able to come across. And Jimmie Johnson will tie Cale Yarborough on Stock Car Racing's all-time win list. Johnson wins his 11th at Dover.
He's got a lot of fans here in Dover because they're all cheering for that.
I don't know that anybody saw that coming. I don't think they thought he was going to pull it off today, but he did. I really felt like things were going his way when he stayed out on that one time there, and the caution, you know, got a lot of cars a lap down.
Congratulations!
Woo!
Real quick, guys, as Christian brought up earlier, just curious what your thoughts are. Should NASCAR change the... the under caution, the overtime under caution thing?
No. You know what? Sometimes I think they try too hard to let it finish under green. I think it's okay the way it is. I don't see any reason why that race should have been restarted, especially after that big of a wreck.
Any thoughts, Sidekick?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of mixed on it. I would like to see it start on or finish under a green, but yet I don't want to, you know, in that, like, you know, with a big wreck like that, it's going to take forever to clean, you know, to get it all cleaned up and to get everybody going again. Yeah, you know, so, you know, I'm kind of mixed on it, really. My preference would be that we see all races end under a green.
Yeah. All right. Interesting. Just as an FYI, if I'm not mistaken, at least it's been unveiled for today. Hold on. It's been unveiled. I'm guessing he will wear it today. Jimmie Johnson, as was pointed out, wearing the Cale Yarborough helmet from last week. This week, and you're right, Brandon, he will be going for Darrell Waltrip's record of 84, but that also apparently is shared with Bobby Allison. So
yes.
On one side of the helmet, which I believe will be worn today, will be Bobby Allison, and on the other side is Darrell Waltrip. So 84. So that's the that's what Jimmie Johnson, I believe, will be wearing today. There had been some talk that he may not necessarily abandon the 83 right away, the Cale Yarborough one. I'm going to be honest with you. I found this story interesting, and I think in some respects it kind of showed a human side to Jimmy Johnson. I saw it printed up. I must have missed it last week. I don't remember the Winner's Circle post-race interview. I don't remember it. But this is a story that Johnson told apparently immediately getting out of the car there in the Winner's Circle. And it's an interesting story. It's about his connection, his own personal connection to Cale Yarborough. And I think in some respects it kind of shows the human side to Jimmy Johnson, which I found somewhat endearing. This was a Johnson on his personal connection to Cale Yarborough.
Jimmy Johnson conquers Delaware once again.
Growing up, his hero was Cale Yarborough. He loved the Hardys 28 paint scheme. He even went to a Hardys one time hoping to see the car in person. He started the day wearing a special helmet with Cale on it. Jimmy, not very often an athlete grows up trying to chase his childhood hero. Today, you matched Hall of Famer Cale Yarborough. How impactful for you the feeling of this win?
Yeah, that's such a great way to say it. I mean, I never thought I would end up here in NASCAR as a kid racing in the dirt out in Southern California. And you know, I was a big Cale Yarborough fan, and I remember going to a race in Oklahoma with my parents and my brother. We're driving across the country, and we pull up to a Hardee's. I had no idea it was a burger stand, and I really thought when I walked in the doors I was going to Cale Yarborough's race shop. It was very disappointed. I had a burger and left, and then understood the world of sponsorship. So to be here to tie him at 83 wins, we just got the tribute helmet. I wasn't sure how quickly we'd be or if we'd be able to go there and get it done. But, Cale, you're the man. Thank you for all you've done for our sport. And then to be a part of one team, one sponsor, Lowe's, Chevrolet, Valvoline, Gatorade, support of the fans, this is an amazing day. And I do have one artifact that we found from my friend Lauren Rainier, one of Cale's old hats.
I thought that story was kind of cute. I really did. He's going into a Hardee's, and he had no idea what it was. I'm picturing this kid going in, and, you know, he's from California. Well, you know, I guess they have no Hardee's out there at that time, so he's going into one, and he thinks he's gonna see Cale Yarborough or see the car or whatever. I thought it was pretty funny. I wanted to get sidekick. I wanted to get your thoughts on at least your recollections on this one, since you happen to be there. As I pointed out, the Toyota's running a little better, and Kyle himself has been better recently. Maybe not post-race, but in the race, he's been better. That is when he's driving with four wheels. That was wild to see that car going down the track out of pit road, and it's got no wheel on it. The wheel's rolling alongside of it. I mean, that was positively wild. I'm surprised we didn't have another mic drop following that circumstance and situation. Amount of damage, I mean, there was a significant amount of damage done to the rear quarter panel of that one. But amazingly, didn't seem to affect the car at all. They didn't miss a beat. You saw that live.
I saw it live, but had no idea what happened until I got home.
Really?
Yep.
Well,
because, you know, for where we were sitting, we were sitting almost where across from where pit road starts. And we saw him come out and go around, and I'm like, oh, he must have got caught for speeding on pit road, because, you know, as he's going around, the tire that came off was on the inside.
It was away from you. Right. I got you.
So, you know, I had no idea until I got home what happened.
So Yeah, you didn't see the sparks flying or any of that?
Nope.
Wow.
Nope.
How about that? How about that? Well, as was discussed on the air last week, it came down this past week that as a result of that situation, four race suspension goes to Kyle Busch's crew chief and how many of his crew members? Let's see, Kyle Busch, crew chief, Adams Stevens, tire carrier Kenny Barber, and tire changer Jake Seminara were suspended four races on Wednesday after a wheel came off the number 18 Toyota during a pit stop on Sunday at Dover International Speedway. One of the things that I brought up right during the race, which I want to bring up here for a moment, which I find to be somewhat, I don't know, what's the word I want? Innocuous? I don't know. Just an oddity. Just downright weird. There's no in-race penalty to the 18 for, I mean, potentially putting other cars in jeopardy. I mean, there was no in-race. There's no in-race penalty, and yet we're going to look at, I mean, to me, that's a whopping penalty right there. You're going to lose all those people for four races. It seems to me something, it's got to be balanced out somehow or another. There should have been an in-race penalty for that. You've got in-race penalties, for God's sake, for, as you just pointed out, speeding on pit road. But there's no in-race penalty for going out on the track with three wheels. What the hell?
No, I think I can kind of explain why.
Go ahead.
Because, you know, they penalize you for leaving the lug nuts loose. But, you know, you have – that's because – and that may have been written as a rule because they were intentionally leaving, you know, one off. They were only hitting four trying to be faster. If you don't hit any, that's a catastrophic – mistake in the pit. Something went wrong. Too fast. The gun didn't work. Whatever. And if you lose a tire, you're more than, you know, you're doing damage to your car. You're probably, there's a chance you're going a lap down. I don't think he did in this case because it was under caution. But maybe that all those factors are kind of maybe why they don't make it an in-race penalty, because you're already getting penalized by the fact that the wheel fell off. I mean, the damage that was done. And you know, if it would have been under green, he would have lost a lap, maybe two, you know. So I think they look at the intent. And I don't think, you know, if the wheel comes off because they didn't hit any lugs, that was not the intent, clearly. You know, that was just a, you know, something went wrong.
Well,
where,
okay.
You know, like I said, some of the other penalties, you know, they could be, you know, they weren't necessarily mistakes. You know, they used to only hit four lugs to try to get them out faster.
Well, okay,
so,
let me apply your same logic, though, Brandon, to the post-race penalty, where we've got three guys in this crew that are all being suspended for four races. Now, you could apply the same logic there that, hey, that wasn't the intent. Why so hefty a penalty for three guys?
Well, that may be what you said about the safety of the, you know, everybody else on the track, et cetera, et cetera. That's why they, you know, they do it after the fact. I don't know. Honestly, I can't, you know, explain it to you. NASCAR's rule book has been perplexing for years, the way they do some of the things they do and why they do them. So I can't really give you a good answer other than, you know,
well,
it is what it is, you know.
No, you're right.
I agree with you. I think it's a bit extreme. You know, I don't think anybody ever intended upon, you know, I don't think there's any intent upon, you know, what happened. So there's nothing they can do about it. NASCAR's not really been forgiving when it's clearly specified in the rule book. In other words, like if it says that, you're getting that. There ain't no leniency. You know what I mean?
And the interesting thing about the penalty itself, according to the one article that I have here from USA Today, is the penalty that these three crew members received, the punishment is described as the, quote, mandatory minimum. It's a mandatory minimum. So, in other words, it could have been more than that. Wow.
Well, if they were, like, repeat offenders, it may be
more. Okay, yeah, I could see what you're saying. But I don't know. I mean, you know, going back to your logic, which makes a hell of a lot of sense, if you're going out on the track and immediately lose your tire, that's been a colossal disaster coming out of your pit, which would obviously indicate that it was unintentional. That being the case, if you're a repeat offender, you shouldn't be in motorsports, period. you know.
Now, since I didn't actually see it, where did the tire actually fall off?
Like right at the end of pit road.
I was going to say it was as he was entering, the track.
Because
he wasn't even on the track, I don't think, yet.
It was almost immediately. You could see the rear of the car as the car was taking off out of the pit box, sidekick, when they showed it on television. You could see the wheel was wobbling back and forth.
They got no lug nuts on. It wasn't even a matter of hitting one. They got none.
Because I would have thought that they could have gave them the pit equipment / loose tire penalty.
It left pit road on the car, though. It left the pit box on the car. I don't know.
But if he was still on pit road...
he was off of pit road, but he wasn't on the track. He was in you know how they ride around the apron till they merge.
Let's not forget, he wasn't on pit road too long when that wheel came off because he had the number one box.
That saved him there, sidekick. If he'd have had like the middle of the pit box, it wouldn't have made the track.
But I mean,
I would have given him that loose tire, uncontrolled.
Yep.
You've seen the tire roll out of the pit box
and they
get penalized for it. That's what I would have given him.
It just seems to me there should have been some sort of in-race penalty. But when you consider that he had the number one pit box and the wheel is off the car and rolling away before he got onto the track.
Yeah, I guess on the track there really isn't.
Right, it goes to show you it wasn't that long a period of time between the time he took off out of the pit box and that tire came right the hell off. It was wild. It really was wild.
Yeah, to Brad's point, that's probably what saved his ass. You know what I mean? The fact that he was on that first pit box. So anything that would have happened, he would have been off of pit road. And once you're on the track, a tire comes off or something comes off your car, you don't get penalized. The only penalty per se is you can't get the lucky dog.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't, in order to qualify for lucky dog, you can't cause your own penalty, caution. You know what I mean? So that's probably, that's just a weird,
I don't know. Maybe they'll change it. You know, NASCAR, doesn't take them much to change their own rules, you know.
Good point. Maybe they'll
make it a penalty.
Yeah, but at the same time, that's really kind of a fluky.
Oh, it is. Yeah, nobody ever intends to lose a wheel.
No, it ranks up there. We were at Dover. I was discussing because we were talking about the jet dryers and the stuff, the trucks that go around and blow the trash off the tracks, and I was explaining to Brian the Montoya jet dryer accident and how they changed up how they they went with those Tritons now and stuff like that. I was explaining that whole thing where they actually had to go and like almost repave part of the track. The track got the race got postponed today, and how crazy that was, you know, and explaining, you know, basically his, you know, his axle broke, you know, like, you know, cause it, you know, obviously what was, he wasn't paying attention. He just slammed into the back of a dryer. I'm like, no, I think his axle broke. And he, basically he couldn't avoid it.
Well, and he was going pretty quick, because if I'm not mistaken, was he not trying to get to the back of the field?
Yeah, he was trying to catch up, under caution while they were still cleaning up.
Yeah, they were under caution, and he needed to get to the back of the field. So he was taking a pretty quick lap in front of the rest of the pack.
Yeah, that was at Daytona,
It was Daytona, yeah. Yeah,
it was July,
Was it July? Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't the 500. I don't remember, if I remember correctly. Because it was a night race.
It was a night race, is right. Because that made it even later into the night. That race, I don't think, was over until like 1:30 in the morning.
No, they rescheduled it for the next day to finish it. Because they had to fix because of the fuel catching on fire, it burned up the asphalt. They had to actually, apply some patching.
Is that right? Because I remember them out there with the Tide. They were out there using the Tide on it.
Yeah,
I thought they actually patched it during the delay.
That's what I thought too.
I think it started coming up towards the end.
Oh yeah, maybe that's what it was then.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Seems like ages ago that happened.
Yeah, really.
All right. Well. Some fun stuff there. Hopefully no wheels coming off today, particularly for the 18 crew. We don't want any wheels coming off today, albeit it's – I don't know whether – I had not read whether they were appealing that. Let's see. Are they appealing?
No. Barring appeal. I read they were not.
Okay.
I read they were not.
Okay. So
I don't think they have a prayer, so they didn't even bother.
That's a good point.
how do you contest that? You know what I mean?
It ain't like a judgment. There ain't no judgment call here. The wheel fell off on the track. You're guilty.
Yeah.
That's what the rule book says. So.
There's clear evidence thereof. So, Okay. Good point. All right, so anyhow, he'll be without.
As a matter of fact, as you pointed out, it could get worse. So if you appeal it, maybe they may jack you up even more.
Exactly right. Right. Mandatory minimum. They could actually take it further. All right, as pointed out, we're at Pocono. This is the first of two times that we will be there in about 6 weeks. Is it about 6 weeks? Yeah, I guess it's about that. And as we pointed out, starting lineup looking somewhat familiar. Kyle Busch on the pole. Martin Truex, 2. Kenseth, 3. Ryan Blaney, 4. Kurt Busch, 5. Brad Keselowski, 6. Kyle Larson, 7. Jamie McMurray, 8. Joey Logano, 9. And Ryan Newman coming in 10th in the lineup. The storyline, though, for Pocono this week, guys, has been the debut of... Darrell Bubba Wallace. Yep. Darrell Bubba Wallace will be driving today. Good to see. I think that's great. I'm thrilled about it. I've been a big fan of Bubba Wallace going back to he was driving for Kyle, right? Wasn't he?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, he was. Then he was in the Joe Gibbs organization, left there, went to Roush, and now Roush is shutting Busch down, or Xfinity down, so we don't know where he's going to be and what he's going to do.
So
they don't have sponsorship problems.
Didn't I hear rumors he's coming up next year?
Possibly.
Somebody's starting another car?
I don't know. Maybe.
Or did I hear
maybe
his name
Roush, I don't
mentioned...
know.
I was going to, or did I hear his name mentioned in the whole Ryan Blaney Penske thing, where you know, if Blaney goes to Penske as a third car, that Bubba would go to Wood Brothers.
Possibly. I haven't heard any actual rumors yet on Bubba. That could
be. Today, I've actually heard some rumors about it as well. Today he is starting out of the 16th spot, driving number 43 Ford. So is that
for Eric?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a great opportunity for him. Great opportunity for him. Interesting piece I sent over to you guys that, what you don't know about Darrell Wallace Jr. His Instagram game is strong. He ignores the Confederate flag. I thought that was pretty funny. He ignores the Confederate flag. I guess that's got to be a little bit, you know, a little bit awkward, huh? You know, walking around and, you know, you got Confederate flags all over the place, you know? His phone's been blowing up since the announcement. He embraces being a trailblazer. He started a scholarship at his school. Interesting stuff. So, hey, listen, starting 16th, I think that's pretty strong. That's pretty strong. So we'll have to keep our eye on him, see if he's, maybe gets another ride one of these times, and we'll be high on him for fantasy or something.
Maybe he's going to fill in for that 43 till Amarola comes back. They said like 6 to 8 weeks for Amarola, so, you know, we're only at the second race, so he's probably got a few more opportunities if he does well.
Let's see. When Almirola returns.
Go ahead.
When Almirola returns, Wallace will be left without a ride. Roush Fenway Racing is shuttering its Xfinity Series program for the number 6, which he has driven since 2015, starting this weekend. Wallace has 7 top 10s in 11 races this season, but hasn't won yet in 83 starts in the Xfinity Series.
He did run the Xfinity race yesterday.
Well,
so maybe it starts next weekend.
Yeah, right.
They were in the 6 car because they actually were – the broadcast guys were saying, well, the best way to get sponsorship, go out there and win the race. So, and they were showing him he was in it. So,
well,
I'm just pointing that out.
Even if
he did
even
race
if
yesterday.
He doesn't, even if he loses the ride, somebody's going to pick this guy up because, I mean,
I was going to say, with the limbo with Danica, whether Danica retires or not, we could potentially see him over at Stuart Haas if he's available. Because if he's racing for Roush now, he's in the Ford camp.
He's in the Fords, right.
I don't think she's quitting before the end of the year, though.
No. But I'm meaning.
Oh, you're going next year. I got you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, could be.
Or you could see another swap again, where
Stuart Haas. Now they do have Cole Custer running that 00 car in Xfinity and doing real good. So they may choose to promote from within before they, that Cole Custer car. He's driving a 00 Haas automation car in Xfinity. He's doing real good. And Harvick and some of the other guys, I think Harvick and I think Kurt Busch ran one. They're running the 41 in Xfinity occasionally. So, they have their own development system now. So they may choose to stay at home before they, go to the, Darrell Wallace. Not saying it's not a possibility. I'm just pointing out that they actually have somebody coming who's looking pretty good.
Yeah. Well, it's almost getting to that time of the year where we start talking about people leaving and renewals and
silly season in the NASCAR. It's what they've always called it.
Yeah.
So they start talking about who's going to be driving what next year. So we'll see.
There's already been a couple of stories and articles out about certain ones. So, and, you know, again, the rumors have been flying with regard to with regard to Danica. And, I mean, there was more out on that again this week.
Well, and then who's taking over Junior's ride?
Right? Very, very, very short article over on Yahoo Sports this past week. Could Danica Patrick's time with Stuart Haas be coming to a close? A clause in her current contract could result in SHR moving on from the driver of the number 10 machine following the 2017 NASCAR season without any issue whatsoever. So apparently there's a clause in the contract which would make the break, I guess, easy and amicable. Let's put it that way. So I think a lot of it, I think a lot of the situation with Danica is being spurred by Danica. That's my personal opinion. Anyhow.
I think she's ready to retire, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so do I. So do I. All right, let's get around. We got about 7 minutes here, so let's get around real quick and let's take a look at some fantasy stuff right now in our fantasy league. Hey, your buddy Rob got his first win last week at Dover. So, what do we got? We've got nine winners now in our fantasy league, led by Texas Ham. I'm coming in second. Thunder Down Under is number 3-2, Hot to Handle number 4, and the Little Beast is number 5. In our Eat My Dust standings, winner selections, Sidekick, you're leading, 467. NASCAR John at 450. I'm coming in at 416. Brandon, you're at 393. Loyal Listener Liz at 392. And Christian at 284. So, Sidekick, you have... Do you have a winning team today?
Man, I don't know.
I'm starting to feel bad for you. I'm really starting to feel bad for you. And
I
shouldn't. I'm
so frustrated.
After all these years, I shouldn't be feeling bad, but I almost do.
Almost.
He's starting to sound like Danica a little bit, doesn't he?
Brandon, I feel more like Carl Larson, honestly. You know? I'm like the bridesmaid here this season.
Or Ryan Blaney.
Yeah.
I have a win, right? There's something right, Fred House Mike. I have a win.
Yep, you have a win.
Yeah, I'm in that. You're the only one not in.
Yeah, you've got a win. I've got two. Jen's got two.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just sitting over here, the overall points leader.
Exactly.
But not a damn win. Yeah. I'm killing
you gotta
it.
Got to get it done.
It goes back to that whole, you know, consistency thing, but, you know, consistency doesn't count anymore. You know, it's all about wins.
Yeah, overall points leader, you are like 400 points ahead of me, and I'm in second place. So,
yeah, it's
crazy.
I can't buy a win, for crying out loud. You know? So. But,
what do we got?
Anyway,
what do we got for today?
So today we've got Brad Keselowski, Martin Truex Jr., Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Ryan Blaney, and Cole Whit. Notice I haven't changed my roster in a number of weeks, and I'm trying to figure out if I need to swap out a driver or not to get me over that hurdle, because I am, you know. I got the points lead. So, you know, points aren't apparently an issue, you know?
Well, and you keep thinking that if you've got the points lead, you're going to get the win one of these times.
Yeah, exactly. Why change up a roster that, you know,
exactly. That's obviously
like this,
as good as it is.
I just can't get that stinking win.
Exactly.
So I'm going with Brad Keselowski and Ford for my winner and manufacturer. Eat my dust, I'm going with Brad Keselowski.
All right, there it is.
One of these weeks I'll get a win.
Interestingly,
and then it's game over.
I haven't changed my roster in fantasy probably in about this. I think it's the exact same roster I've had This will be the fourth week in a row. I'm not changing a single person. Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr., Eric Jones, and Ryan Blaney. That's the core of it. That's the core of it. And then I got Matt DiBenedetto at the bottom. All right, sidekick, you're going with Keselowski. NASCAR John is going with Brad Keselowski.
Duh.
For the fourth week in a row, I am going with Kyle Busch. Go ahead,
Brad.
You'll
be right eventually.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm going with Kevin Harvick this week.
All right.
I think it's going to be a Ford. I think sidekick's on to something there. It could be Ford. It could be Harvick. It could be Ryan Blaney. I think you're going to see a Ford. You know, obviously the pesky cars are there too, but I think that's what you're going to see. I think we're going to have a Ford in victory lane today. As good as Toyota's doing.
What's that?
Have a feeling.
All right.
I said as good as Toyota's doing lately, and, you know, Kyle Busch is running good and Truex is up there. I just have a feeling. Hamlin always runs good there too, but, you know, I just have a feeling Ford's winning today.
Or you could see a repeat with Kurt Busch. He won last year.
Possible.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a Ford.
Well, and interestingly enough, loyal listener Liz going with Kurt Busch.
There you go.
And as we heard earlier, Christian is going with Joey Logano. So
another
let me see here. One, two, three, four, five. Five out of the six picks are Fords. How do you like that, guys? There you go.
Yep.
So, all right. Good program today. Good program. Many thanks, everybody, that's been listening in here this afternoon. Thanks to Christian Coley for jumping in with us for a couple of minutes before he headed over to Trackside at Pocono. Make sure you're checking in on everything that Christian and his crew are doing over at onpitroad.com. Onpitroad.com. You can catch up with Christian's reporting and writing over there. Reminders for our programming this week. We have a big program coming up on Thursday night with our flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show. Number 300 coming to you on Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We will have a couple of special guests. In fact, I'm working on a brand new guest as we speak, actually. Kind of a surprise. Somebody that might be making a football team squad this season, so you're going to want to tune in for that. Thursday night, 7 p.m., our 300th broadcast of the Frat House Sports Show. I'll be back here with you next Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. for another relaxed Frat House Saturday. Sidekick, we're playing around with the idea of doing a Friday night race trim. I don't know if you're going to be available, but let me know about that as we go. Simply because we have some things happening here on Saturday, so I didn't think Sunday would be a great day to do a race trim next week, but anyhow.
Oh, next Friday? Yeah, I won't be able to. I'm working until I've got a migration at work next week. I might not even be able to make the picnic.
Yeah, we want you for the picnic. So we'll, if we do a Friday show, Frat House Mike and I will all wing it. We'll probably, maybe Kristen can join us too. I think it's better than trying to schedule Sunday.
Yeah, so do I. So, but anyhow, everybody that's listening, if you want to keep in touch with what we will be doing there, best place to do that over at our Facebook page, Frat House Sports, leave spaces in between. Look for our little purple icon. You'll get our full schedule. All right, there you go. Again, many thanks, everybody. Get out there and enjoy your racing today up at the Tricky Triangle.